Agrajaha,
born prior to you.
Te, you.
Maya Balasya,
of the Omnipotent.
Purushasya,
of the Personality of Godhead.
Kuta,
what to speak of others.
Avara,
born after us.
Yea,
those.
Gayan,
by singing.
Gunan,
the qualities.
Dashashata anana,
one who has 10 hundred faces.
Adideva,
the first incarnation of the Lord.
Shesha,
known as Sesha.
Aduna,
until now.
Api,
even.
Samavashiti,
can achieve.
Na,
not.
Asya,
of him.
Param,
limit. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Neither I nor all the sages born before you know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So what can others who are born after us know about Him? Even the first incarnation of the Lord, namely Sesha, has not been able to reach the limit of such knowledge, although he is describing the qualities of the Lord with 10 hundred faces. Translation responsibly. Neither I nor all the sages,
born before you,
know fully the omnipotent
personality of Godhead.
So what can others
who are born after us
know about him?
Even the first incarnation of the Lord,
namely Sesha,
has not been able to reach the limit
of such knowledge,
although he is describing the qualities of the Lord
with 10 hundred faces.
Purport.
The omnipotent personality of Godhead has primarily three potential manifestations, namely internal, external, and marginal potencies, with unlimited expansions of these three energies. As such, the potential expansions can never be calculated by anyone, because even the personality of Godhead himself, as the incarnation of Sesha, cannot estimate the potencies, although he has been describing them continuously with his 1,000 faces. So, it is said here that even God himself does not know himself. So, Prabhupada discusses this at the end of the Krishna book, in the prayers of the personified Vedas. Prabhupada says that it's not proper to say that Krishna does not know himself. because obviously he's God, so he must be able to do everything. If you say that God cannot do something, then he is not God. If you say he cannot do it, then that's not God by definition. By definition, God, or Bhagavan, is unlimitedly powerful. He has unlimited potency. That's God. If you say he cannot do something, then you're not speaking about God. Then you're speaking about someone else. Because he is unlimited. There's nothing that he cannot do. One European philosopher said, "Can God create a mountain that he cannot lift?" Now, people try to play games with God. But there's no use playing games with God, because he will play games with you. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the cheater. So when you're trying to outwit Krishna, he's already outwitted you. He already knows what you're doing even before you start to do it. He knows you're going to do it a million years before you try to do it. And when you do it, he's there the whole time. And then afterwards, then he embarrasses you. So he is unlimitedly powerful. So, it says in the Krishna book, Prabhupada explains that Krishna, he sometimes tries to understand his potency. So he understands everything about himself. But as soon as he understands everything, in the next moment he understands he's more powerful than when he thought. So Prabhupada says that even though it's not proper to say that God cannot know himself, but when he does know himself, or when he fully realizes all of his potency and energy, he realizes in the next moment he's more powerful than that. So he is continuously being amazed by his own potency and power. It is unlimited. So it says here that he has three principal energies. What are the three principal energies? External, internal, and marginal. So we say Bahiranga, Antaranga, and Tatashto. So Bahiranga means external. Antaranga means internal. And Tatashto means that which is in between. So the material energy is called Bahiranga. Bahiranga means, Bahir means external. It means outside. So it's not actually where Krishna lives himself. Krishna does not live in the material energy. Even when he incarnates and he comes to this material world, he descends, he doesn't actually physically contact the material energy. He's always separate from it. Now how does he remain separate from it? He brings his dharma. So when he comes to the material world, the dharma first manifests. And whenever Krishna is in the material world, he is performing his pastimes in the internal potency, in his own spiritual energy, in the holy dharma. And this way he does not have to contact the material energy. He doesn't want to contact the material energy. We want to contact the material energy. And what is it called when you want to contact the material energy? Yeah, it's called Maya. Maya means illusion. We are in illusion. Therefore, we want to contact the material energy. We want to touch the material energy and taste it and smell it and see it and hear it. We want to have contact with the material energy, but Krishna doesn't. Because he is a high-class person. Someone who is high-class, they don't like to touch low-class things. Just like if you read in the Krishna book, in the Bhagavatam, 5,000 years ago when Krishna was on the earth, the demigods used to come to earth periodically for yajñas. So you read that when Yudhishthira performs the Rajasuya, or when one of the great yajñas is being performed, the Ashwamedha or the demigods are actually physically present. You read in the Krishna book, in the 10th canto, that the demigods were all there during the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthira. Indra, even Brahma, even Shiva, even Vishnu himself, everyone was manifest in the arena. So, it is said in Kali Yuga, the demigods don't come anymore. Have you seen the demigods at any of the yajñas we do? Did you see the demigods on Gaur Purnima? Just check it out this Sunday and see if you see any demigods coming. You won't see them. In Kali Yuga, they don't come to Earth because they're high class, and Kali Yuga is very low class. They're not interested. In the heavenly planets, in Swarga, they don't have like the four ages like we have here. It's pretty much like Satya Yuga all the time. Very, like, peaceful. They know it's Kali Yuga because in the heavenly planets, the sky is clear. It's blue. You don't get clouds. It's not like here in Melbourne. Like, you know, it's, some days it's cloudy, some days it's not cloudy. In the heavenly planets, it's always clear, blue skies. But they know it's Kali Yuga because in the corner of the sky, there's like a dark cloud. So they say, oh, there's the dark cloud. That means it's Kali Yuga on Earth. But they don't feel Kali Yuga. They don't experience Kali Yuga. But down here, we experience it. How do you like it so far? How do you like Kali Yuga? People like Kali Yuga. People become attached to Kali Yuga. But Kali Yuga is actually distasteful for high-class people. The demigods don't enjoy Kali Yuga. But everyone here, they think it's good. They think it's pleasant. So, the demigods, they won't come. So Krishna, when he descends into this material world, he doesn't actually touch the material energy. He always stays situated in the spiritual energy. And that is called his dharma. So, the material world is made of... it is the opposite of the spiritual world. Now, what is the spiritual world made of? Well, the internal potency. The antaranga shakti. The spiritual potency is made of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. And the material world is the opposite. It is not full of bliss. It is full of nirananda. Nirananda means? Nir, ananda. Nir means without. Ananda. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matra spashas tukunteya, shitoshna, sukha dukkha da, sukha dukkha. Material world is full of sukha and dukkha, happiness and distress. But there is no ananda in the material world. You can't get ananda from the material energy. You can't get spiritual bliss from maya or matter. That's not possible. So it is near ananda. It is unblissful. And it is achit, which means it is unconscious. And it is asat, which means it is all temporary. The material elements are actually eternal. Everything is always existing. In other words, all the elements always exist. But the Bhagavatam describes that when they unmanifest, that is called pradan. Pradan means unmanifest. When it all goes back into Mahavishnu, or when it all merges back into itself, all the 24 elements of the material energy, that is called pradan. It is like something like clay. You know, before the potter makes, clay is just all merged together. It's just one lump of earth. So pradan is like that. Just all the elements, they merge back into each other and it just becomes like a big lump, formless. And then, when it all manifests again, we call that prakriti. Prakriti means it all begins to take shapes and forms. But it's asat. Asat means all the forms, they do not last. Just like if you make a potter's pot, if a potter makes a pot, right, of clay, it doesn't last. It may last for 50 years or 100 years or 1,000 years, but it won't last forever. The energy, that lasts forever, but the form does not last forever. Therefore, the material world is called asat, means it is temporary. But the spiritual world, everything is constant. Now, the spiritual world is made of different elements. It is made of ananda. Now, what is the definition of ananda that Lord Chaitanya gives in the Shikshastika? Lord Chaitanya says, anandam buddhi vardhanam. Ananda is always expanding, ever increasing, ocean of bliss. That is the spiritual world. Is anyone here experiencing a unlimited, ever expanding, ever increasing ocean of bliss? One person is feeling that. Right. We are feeling it. We're feeling it to some extent. Krishna consciousness should become more blissful over time. It should become more blissful. And you, someone might say, well, it's not becoming more blissful. So then that's your problem. That means you have to think about how to make it more blissful. Because the nature of Krishna consciousness, it becomes more blissful. It doesn't become less blissful. If it's becoming less blissful, or it's not increasing, that means there's something wrong with your application of sadhana. It means you're not applying the process properly. Because Lord Chaitanya says, anandam buddhi vardhanam. He says, when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you should be experiencing unlimited, ever-increasing bliss. Do you feel blissful when you chant your rounds? Hands up if you feel blissful when you chant your rounds. 1, 2, and 3. You don't feel blissful? Really? Then why are you here? If you don't feel blissful, then why are you here? Why don't you go and do something else? Go and find bliss somewhere else. If bliss is here, you should be experiencing bliss. Rupa Goswami says, when I chant, one mouth is not enough. I need thousands of mouths, thousands of tongues to taste all the nectar of the holy name of Krishna. And he says, two ears are not enough. I need thousands of ears to taste the nectar of the holy name of Krishna. Do you ever feel like that when you chant? We should feel like that. Sometimes we should feel like, I just want to keep chanting and keep chanting. Yeah. Prabhupada said, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? You should feel when you're chanting, I just want to chant forever. Okay. So, if you're feeling a little depressed at this point in the class, there is hope. What is the hope? Because some of us like taste in chanting. So in Harinam Chintamani, the whole book, Harinam Chintamani by Haridas Thakur, is a discussion about chanting the holy name of Krishna. And he says that if you're lacking taste, then one of the ways to overcome that lack of taste is to observe very carefully the great festival days. So when is the next great festival day? Gopanima, when is that? 16th. On Saturday. Saturday? Sunday. We should know about this. We should know about this 1 year before it comes. This Sunday is Gaura Purnima. The moon will be full, Purnima. And Lord Chaitanya appeared on that day. This is the most powerful day. It's practically the most powerful day of the year. So if you're lacking taste, if you go to Lord Chaitanya humbly and say, Lord Chaitanya, and if you pray to Nitai Gaur and say, I'm lacking taste, maybe they will give you something. Can you feel the energy of Gaur Purnima? It's already manifest. Right? As you get close, it's not just on the day, as you get closer to the day, the bliss begins to manifest. And on the day, it culminates, it's unlimited bliss. So we should feel on that day there is unlimited bliss. Take advantage. If you're feeling like you're unenthusiastic in devotional service, if you observe the day very carefully, all your enthusiasm can come back in one day. And you can get like a boost on your chanting. You should chant extra rounds on Gaura Purnima. Some devotees chant 32 rounds, some chant 64, some chant 128. Some chant 196. You should chant some extra rounds on Gaura Purnima. And the whole day you should just practice. Kirtaniyaha sada hari. You should do nothing else but chant. You know, if you're cooking the feast, you should be chanting the whole time. Gauranga, 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 Gauranga. Continuously chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Right? And then you will get anandam buddhi vardhanam. You'll feel there is bliss in this process. If you don't get bliss, you'll go away. That's what maya is. Maya means I'm looking for bliss where it does not exist. That's maya. Right? I'm not getting it in Krishna consciousness, so then I'll go to the material energy and try to find it. But what is the problem? There's no bliss in the material energy. And then what happens? What happens when devotees go away from Krishna consciousness? They come back. You see, everyone who goes away, they just come back again. They go out there, and then what happens? Right? Maya slaps you around the face. Right? Maya just gets you and just slaps you. Idiot, go back. Right? And then you go back. But when you come back, right, it's more difficult. Right? Because then you've contaminated your consciousness. That's why we have to be very careful about keeping our consciousness pure. How do we keep our consciousness pure? We have to follow the four regulative principles. That's why at the time of initiation, we say we will not do these things. Because if you contaminate your consciousness with these activities, then it is very hard to think of Krishna. So what happens when you leave Krishna consciousness? You go and perform those activities. Right? And then your consciousness becomes contaminated. Right? And then everyone comes back. You watch devotees come back, but it's more difficult. Therefore, we have to keep our consciousness pure. That's why we follow the four regulative principles. But the way to get out of the material world is not just following the four regulative principles. That stops you going back into the material world. But to get out of the material world, you have to chant the Hare Krishna mantra purely. Now, what happened when Lord Chaitanya became initiated by Ishvara Puri and Gaya? What did he say to his spiritual master? His spiritual master gave him the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. And Lord Chaitanya stayed up all night chanting that Hare Krishna Maha mantra. And then he came back to his guru, Ishvara Puri, the next day. And what did he say?
What is this mantra you've given me? I've become mad.
He said, what is it that you gave me? He said, what mantra did you give me? I've become mad. He said, I can't stop chanting. I'm mad. And he said, tears just keep coming from my eyes. And my body is shaking. And my hairs are standing on end. I said, what have you done to me? What mantra did you give me? Krishna, 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 Krishna. Like that. So this is the goal of our chanting. When you chant, tears should come from the eyes. If you care about someone, you cry when you think about them. If you really care about someone. How many people make you cry in this world? How many people do you care about so much that you cry when you think about them? So that's what it should be like with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna. And then tears are coming from that. Tears come like that. Cannot be imitated. It's not artificial. You can't make a show of it. I mean, you can make a show of it if you want, but it doesn't do anything. You can put some lemon juice in your eyes. When you're chanting Japa on Gaupanim and all the devotees are... get a lemon in your bead bag and just squeeze it. Hey, Krishna! You can do it like that. That is called Prakrita Sahajya. No, that's pretentious. You can do it if you want. You can be a pretender if you want, but it doesn't do anything. It doesn't lead anywhere. And you can't cheat Krishna. Krishna will cheat you. If you want to pretend, then you won't get to Krishna. But if you are genuine, if you are sincere, then you will get to Krishna. So the tears must come. The feeling must come. That is called bhava. Rupa Goswami says the goal of sadhana is sajya. The goal of sadhana bhakti is bhava bhakti, to have feelings for Krishna. Okay? If you think that the deity is just a stone, that means your heart is stone. Right? If the deity is alive, that means you're becoming purified. And when you're pure, when you offer the aarti to the deity, tears will be in the eyes. Like Prabhupada, sometimes Prabhupada would manifest. He would hide these things so that the movement did not become Prakrita Sahajya. If Prabhupada was crying all the time, everyone else would be crying all the time. Because everyone always does whatever Prabhupada does. So Prabhupada hid it. Very careful. But sometimes he could not control it. Sometimes it just manifests. Sometimes he would become stunned when he was chanting Jai Radha Madhava before the Bhagavatam class in Mayapur. Prabhupada became stunned and he couldn't chant anymore. And he went silent, tears were just gliding down his cheeks. And then after 3 or 4 minutes he came back to consciousness and he just said, chant Hare Krishna. And he got up, he didn't give class, he just got up and went to his room. Because his ecstasy was overcoming. Normally he would not let that happen, but sometimes it would overpower. So that is the goal of Krishna consciousness. So if you don't get taste, you'll go away. You have to get some taste. We have to work on getting bliss. So if you're not getting bliss, then observe Gopinim very carefully. Give yourself fully to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Are we doing a Harinam Sankirtan on Gopinim? Is there a Harinam Sankirtan party organized? Is it?
Yes.
Yes? Where is it leaving from? In front of Crossways on Sunday.
10:30.
Is that not too early? Huh? Already says on the board. Okay. Depends what time class finishes. Because I think the program will be a long program, I think. So, 2 sannyasis are here. So whether or not 10:30, if everyone can get there by 10:30. So that is the way that we observe. If you don't have other services, then you just chant. Anandam buddhi varadanam means you dive into the unlimited ocean of bliss. And you should feel bliss. Do you think it's not possible to feel bliss? On Harinam Sankirtan, on Gopinim. Only a stone could not feel bliss. If you're not in ecstasy, we will give you all of your money back. Not possible. If you don't feel ecstatic, then something's drastically wrong. But if you're practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely, you'll be ecstatic all the time. Prabhupada was always ecstatic. So if we're not feeling ecstatic, it just means there's something wrong with the way we're applying the process. So what could be wrong? It's a long list. What could be wrong? Right? One thing is we could be offending devotees. If you offend devotees, you don't get taste for chanting. Right? If you're offending devotees, even in the mind, if you're offending devotees, thinking negative thoughts, you don't get taste for chanting. It becomes difficult. Right? What else could be blocking our taste for chanting? Material desires, yeah. Why are the material desires overcoming us? Because we're inattentively chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the root cause of all offences, all namaparad, or all offences in chanting, is inattention while chanting. So if you're not chanting attentively, you won't feel blissful. You have to chant attentively. Not distracted. You see devotees chanting distracted japa. What are examples of distracted japa?
Noticeable japa.
Yeah, noticeable japa. Actually, there was an email that came out not so long ago. It was also on Dandavats. Mahatma Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he wrote a list of different types of inattentive chanting. It's quite funny. It just went on for, there's like 20 or something or more. Different types of inattention while chanting. And we do all sorts of crazy things. Why? Because we don't have any taste for chanting the holy name. So when you chant the holy name, in Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur says, if you are lacking a taste, if you're inattentive whilst chanting, what does he say to do? He says, blindfold yourself. He says, go into a dark room and put on a blindfold so you can't see anything, and just chant. That's what Haridas Thakur says. He said, if you're inattentive, if you're getting distracted all the time, then go to a place where you can't be distracted and just chant the holy name of Krishna. Have you ever done that? You ever gone to a dark room, just blindfolded yourself, and then Just chant, and all you can hear is the holy name. I've never done it myself. If I want to be attentive when I chant, because I try to chant attentively, right? Then I chant in a place where I'm not going to be distracted, like the temple room, or Prabhupada's room, right? Or somewhere, like even on the farm, when I'm chanting, I don't just wander around, just like, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. No, you chant in a, even you're chanting outside, it has to be like in a place where you're just meditating on the holy name. Not allowing yourself to continuously get distracted, looking at everything. Right. So we might be offending devotees, we might be inattentive. What else might be causing us to not have a taste? Lack of hearing and chanting. If you don't hear enough, you don't get enthused in your chanting. Therefore, Prabhupada said, we have to read his books. And we have to hear the philosophy continuously. Because if you hear, you become enthusiastic. Prabhupada said, because I was enthusiastic for Shravanam, now I am enthusiastic for Kirtanam. So if you don't hear sufficiently, you'll dry up. I notice it myself. Sometimes I get so busy, I don't hear enough. And then after some time, I start thinking, wait a minute, I'm starting to get like, my enthusiasm is not strong enough. And that's because I'm not hearing sufficiently. So you have to make sure you're hearing, right, and chanting sufficiently. So there's numerous things which will stop us from contacting the spiritual energy. The spiritual energy is ananda. Srila Prabhupada says the nature of the soul is to be happy. Right? There's no depression in the spiritual world. Right? Depression, which is a mental disease, is only existed in the material world, and it's prevalent in Kali Yuga. It's on epidemic proportions. People are not happy. Why are they not happy? Because the material world's crazy. It's crazy. Every day what I hear happens. Even what I hear just in devotees' lives, even without going out to the non-devotees, it's crazy what happens in the material energy. Just even yesterday, you know, maybe you haven't heard yet, just, you know, things going on in devotees' lives, just horrible things, which it's just their karma coming from outside. You know, in my life, things just come from outside. You know, my family or friends or something, or just things come and get you. You can't escape it. Right? And if you don't have shelter, then you'll just become depressed. What's the option? Of course you'll become depressed. But we have an option. That's why we are called tatashta. Tatashta means we have an option. We have a choice. You can go to Krishna or you can go to Maya. It is difficult. When you're suffering a lot, it's difficult to go to Krishna. When you're suffering too much, you have to be advanced and pure. But we have to continuously just go to Krishna, go to Krishna, go to Krishna. That's our test. And to get to the point where Prabhupada says, we were reading in the 8th canto last night, Prabhupada said the advanced devotee, he actually prefers when he's in distress. Because when he's in distress, it's easy for him to take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, Kunti Devi says, let the calamities come again and again. You ever pray like that? Did you ever pray like that? You did. Let the calamities come again and again. You know, do you want me to tell you how I pray to Krishna? I say, Krishna, make it soft. Purify me, but do it softly. And slowly and carefully. That's how I pray to him.
That is important.
Huh?
That is important.
It's not really important. It's just the way I pray to him. I say, purify me, but just do it very nicely. But it doesn't always work. When I was a little boy, I used to go to Sunday school. You know, like Christian Sunday school for the kids. And they told us when I was a little boy, and I remember even to this day, they said, when you pray to God, he gives you one of three answers. Yes, no, or wait. And that's how it is when you deal with Krishna. But sometimes I pray to Krishna. I pray, Krishna, purify me, but do it slowly and do it softly and do it nicely. And sometimes he says, yes. And sometimes he says, no. And sometimes he says, wait. It's up to him. You can't force him. If he wants to purify you, he'll do it however he wants to do it. And sometimes it's intense. But the point is, no matter how he chooses, however Krishna chooses to purify us, we don't stop serving him. Under any circumstances, we don't stop it. And that's the difference between an advanced devotee and a neophyte devotee. A neophyte devotee, as soon as there's some problem, they drop their service. And you see this in the temples. People ring up, oh, I can't serve the deities today. You know, I've been in temples over the last, 25 years, and sometimes people ring up, at like 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning or even 6 o'clock in the morning. They're supposed to be dressing the deities. I say, I can't do my service. Because, this is happening. No. An advanced devotee does his service no matter what. It doesn't mean the material energy stops afflicting you, right? You still get the punishment which we deserve from the material energy. But it doesn't mean we stop our service. Every day we just keep doing our service. We chant our rounds. We worship the deity. We do our service. We spread the Sankirtan movement. And then whatever happens, that happens. And sometimes we're happy and sometimes we're distressed. And we can say, well, we want to be happy all the time. But Krishna already said in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Shitoshna, Sukadukada, he already said, sometimes you will be happy, but sometimes you will be distressed. That's the material world. If you want to be happy all the time, you have to go to another place. There is a place where you can be happy all the time, but it's not here. But it doesn't mean we stop serving Krishna. It doesn't mean we stop our service. So, if we want to get back to the spiritual energy, we have to change our attitude. We have to become very fixed in Krishna consciousness. And this platform is called Nishta. Nishta means... Nishta, which platform is Nishta? What's the platform preceding Nishta? It's called? Anatta Nivritti. So when do you become Nishta? How do you become fixed? When you give up the anattas. When you hold on to the anattas, you're not fixed. That's why we're not fixed. That's called Anishtita Bhakti. Anishtita Bhakti means Anatta Nivritti. I'm not steady because I'm dealing with all my anattas all the time. I'm dealing with all my material desires. So how can you be steady? So you have to give them up. Gradually, you have to give them up. Because they all get taken away anyway, in due course of time. Everything gets taken away in due course of time. And if you're a sincere devotee, Krishna takes it away quickly. It says in the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada said it, the verse changed his life. That when Krishna is very merciful, or especially merciful, he takes everything away. That's what he does. Right? What's that? That's called special mercy. And when Krishna takes everything away, we say thank you. If we're advanced. If we're not advanced, we cry. We say, why did you take everything away? You've ruined my life. I should never have become a Hare Krishna. I should never have walked into this temple. What is this place? No. So it's a test. So if you go away, then what will happen? You'll come back anyway. Everyone comes back. There's no choice. Where else are you going to go? Right? One time when I was a brahmachari, and I was living in the ashram just there, and I was in the end room, which goes on to Boyd Street. Is that the name of Boyd Street? Is that street? So I was in the end room, and one day I was very upset because there was some conflict with another devotee in the temple, senior devotee. So I was very upset. I became so disturbed, I thought, I'm just going to leave. So I took off my neck beads, put them on the shelf, climbed out the window, right? And I thought, I'm just going, I'm fed up with this. And I got out the window, which means I was in the material world. Because when you're in the ashram, when you're in the ashram, you're in the spiritual world. So I got out the window, and I was standing there, and I thought, I've got nowhere to go. So I got back in the window, right? Put on my neck beads, and I took rest. And next day the problem started to get smaller and smaller, and then after some time it wasn't a problem anymore. So we will always be tested. You'll always be tested in Krishna consciousness, always. Difficulties always come. But you have to learn to tolerate. That's why Krishna says, Titikshasva. Macha spashas tukunteyaha. Shitoshna sukha dukada. Agama payano nichas. Tams titikshasva. Bharata. Titiksha. Titiksha means tolerate. You just have to tolerate. Because living with devotees is intense. It's like in the forest, the bamboo is always rubbing. Prabhupada explains that the bamboo rubs and there's friction and then sparks come out. So when you're living with devotees, especially in the ashram, it's always like that. But you have to learn to tolerate and you have to learn to be humble. I was speaking to my Guru Maharaj one time, just upstairs there, and I was speaking to him about a problem I was having with a senior devotee, and then he just looked at me. He didn't say, you know, you're wrong or he's right or you're right and he's wrong. He didn't say like that. He just said, just tolerate. He said, it's like that. He said, just tolerate. You may be having some problem with this devotee, but just tolerate. And he said, be humble. Just be humble. And if you're humble, humility solves every problem in our life. When we're not humble, we have problems. When we're humble, we don't have problems. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, be lower than the straw in the street. Be more tolerant than the tree. Because when you are like that, you don't have problems. It doesn't mean that people don't stop giving you problems, but you just don't get disturbed by it because you're humble. You think, I deserve it. I deserve worse. So you're tolerant. You're tolerant, more tolerant than the tree, more humble than the blade of grass. Then you don't have problems. Then Lord Chaitanya says, then you can chant constantly. Why do we stop chanting? Because we're not humble, we're not tolerant, and we're just thinking about this person who's giving us so many problems. Then you can't chant. Now, how many rounds do we waste thinking about the people we don't like? You know, we should be chanting their names. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare. You should be chanting, you know, Hare, you know, whoever it is that you don't like. Because that's what you're thinking of. You're not thinking of Krishna. It's inattentive chanting, where we spend so many rounds in our lives just thinking about people that we don't like. But if you're more tolerant than a tree, more humble than a blade of grass, you can chant constantly. And you can actually absorb yourself. In the material world, someone's always going to not like you. It's the nature of the material world. It doesn't matter who you are. Right? Someone will always not like you. So you can't do anything, just tolerate it. That's what Krishna says. Even when Krishna comes to the world, does everyone like him? That's Krishna. He comes here. In the spiritual world, does everyone like him? Everyone likes him in the spiritual world. When he comes here, not everyone likes him. He has problems as well. But he doesn't get affected by it. Of course, he's God, so he's more powerful. But even Prabhupada, people didn't like Prabhupada. Prabhupada had many enemies, had so much opposition from his God brothers. Right, from outsiders. Right, but he showed us how to tolerate it. And the whole Mahabharata is for one thing. Not just for one thing, but I mean, what's the principal lesson of the whole Mahabharata? Tolerate. Look what the Pandavas went through. Have you ever gone through anything like what the Pandavas went through?
Nothing.
And we'll never go through what the Pandavas went through. You know, never. I mean, that they went through the most difficult things, you know, the most psychologically difficult things to go through, they went through. And they never stopped serving Krishna and worshipping Krishna. So that's what we should be like. So if you want to get back to the spiritual world, you have to be very fixed, very serious. And then eventually we'll get back. So Gaur Purnima is coming up on Sunday, and we have an opportunity to fully surrender to Krishna and to become Krishna conscious. And by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he will give special mercy. I can feel it already. It's like, you know, when the wave comes, The wave is building. I can feel already he's ready to give us mercy. He's just waiting to see who will be there at Mangalati and who will get the mercy and who will serve him all day. Will you serve him or will you let someone else do it? And will you be the servant of the servant of the servant or will you try to be the most prominent person? And if you want to become a good devotee, hands up if you want to become a good devotee, then you have to focus on a role model, someone who is a good devotee. And that person becomes your guru. Right? And you follow their example. And that's how you get to Krishna. So think, who is the devotee who inspires you? Right? So many devotees inspire us, but think of someone. You know, for me, it's Vaishnav Charan. You know, he is my inspiration. He is the selfless devotee. Whenever he does service, it's selfless. So I want to become like that devotee. So that's how we should be in Krishna consciousness, always seeing which devotee can I be like. Right? He's my guru. Right? And that's how you get to Krishna. So you think, who is the best? Who is the best servant? And follow that devotee. And then we will also reach Krishna. So that is Lord Chaitanya's mood. Lord Chaitanya came as the servant. He is Krishna, but he wanted to be the servant of Krishna. So we should also develop that mood, and then we will get a taste for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So we'll stop here, see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Is that why we left the spiritual world?
No, Krishna is forcing us to like him. And if you don't like him, then we are in the material world. But in the spiritual world, you know. If you're in the spiritual world, then you have to like him.
What, do you have a problem with that?
When people say, no, then you're forced. It's like you're forced.
No, it's not forced. Prabhupada says in Ishopanishad, he said it's cooperation. There's a purport in the Ishopanishad where Prabhupada says Krishna does not force us, but he wants us to cooperate. Right? Someone has to be the boss. Right? There's a book that came out a number of years ago in management, very famous book, very good book. And one of the principles in the book of management is lead, follow, or get out of the way. So either you're the leader, you're the follower, or just get out of the way. So Prabhupada was the leader, right? But he was also the follower. Right? So he knew where he existed. That's called cooperation, right? He led us, but he followed his spiritual master and Krishna. Right? So you have to understand where you fit in. So Krishna he's not forcing us, he just wants cooperation. If you can do a better job than Krishna, then go and do the job, but you can't. So therefore, follow. So he's not forcing us, he just wants us to cooperate. And if you can't cooperate, then stay in the material world and suffer. But if you want to cooperate, then go back and cooperate. Does that answer? Anything else? That's the answer. So he doesn't force anyone. Otherwise, if he's forcing us, we wouldn't have come to the material world. He would have kept us there, right, and took us to one grove in Vrindavan around the back and sat there with us all day saying, what's your problem? You know, why are you so mental today? Why can't you just serve me? Don't you want to make the garlands? Right? Are you off the altar? Yeah. What is your problem? Like he didn't do that. He just said, go to the material world, get it worked out, get it out of your system and come back. answer. Any other question?
When we work with the devotees, sometimes if they do wrong, we have to chastise them, is that an offense?
It's not a offense to correct another devotee if you are the authority of that devotee. If you're not the authority, then there's a problem. But if you're the authority, then there's no problem. And if you are the authority of the devotee, but the devotee does not accept your authority, then go to someone who is the authority and say they have to be told such and such. Just like I might be a more senior devotee than another devotee, but you know, sometimes in the past I used to go and help on the catering jobs. You know, the temple's doing some catering job. So I go to the catering job. So I'm the more senior devotee. I've been around longer. But in the catering job, in the catering tent, right, I'm the follower. Right, so I follow what the devotee is teaching, telling me, because he's in charge. So you have to know when you're the follower and when you're the leader. When you're the senior and when you're the junior, you have to know. And that's when devotees argue with each other, because they don't understand who's who. Or they understand, but they're not willing to follow. So if you're not willing to follow, if you are the follower in any situation, you're not willing to follow, that's Maya. That's just false ego, that's all. So, you know, we correct it. If devotees are making some mistake or something, and you're the leader, you have to correct them. If you don't correct them, then you're in Maya. Just like if I'm doing some service and someone's helping me to do the service, and they're not doing it properly, and I don't tell them, then that's my problem. So you have to tell, but you have to tell the devotees nicely. That's the point. You know, when we have close relationships, you can tell the devotees nicely. Or even sometimes if you're a little heavy, right? But if you have a close relationship, the devotee, he will accept that. But if you're heavy all the time, no one likes that. Do you like if someone's heavy all the time? No, I don't like it. Someone's just always heavy. No one likes that. So it should not be like that. Sometimes you have to be a little heavy, but not all the time. Does that answer? Okay. Any other question?
Sincerity also comes from Krishna. So we said
be prayers
or give us sincerity. Give some
what?
To get taste, when we're chanting, when we're getting taste, we are not sincere enough.
Yeah, but you can pray for sincerity. But sincerity comes from you. It doesn't just come from Krishna. Like, you have to be sincere. You can't say, oh, Krishna, make me sincere. No, you have to be. That's your side. You know, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the sparrow wanted to empty the ocean. Do you know that story? You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a little bird, a sparrow. You know that story? And he was trying to empty the ocean, she. Right? And then Garuda came and said, give the eggs back. Like that. So we have to be the sparrow. We are sincere. You can't say, oh, Krishna, make me sincere. Krishna's looking at you and says, well, do something. He said, Krishna, make me do something. Well, do it. I gave you independence. Do it. Yeah. Krishna, make me do the service. Well, there's the service. Do it. Yeah. We can't say to Krishna, give me this, give me that. I mean, it comes from us. We have sincerity. Right. So you can pray to Krishna to help you become more sincere. But he'll just do that automatically anyway. If he sees you are sincere, yes, of course he'll help you. Does it make sense? Anything else?
How much should we chastise and say, like, when you do something wrong, you have to do something wrong?
With yourself, not too much that you become dysfunctional. Sometimes we get too heavy on ourselves, and sometimes we get too in our mind. Oh, I did this wrong. Oh, I'm not a good devotee. Oh, I'm not sincere. Oh, I've got the same material desires I had 20 years ago. I've been a devotee for like 25 years. I've got the same material desires I had 25 years ago. Maybe they're smaller now, but they're the same things. So I could become depressed. Oh, it's not working. I've been doing this for so long. I still have the same desires. I still think about the same lusty thoughts. You know, I can think all those things. Or I can think, no, it is getting smaller. It is getting easier. I am getting more taste for Krishna consciousness. And I have to try. So you can become despondent and give up, or you can just keep trying. What's the choice? You have two choices, to get out the window or to stay inside. I already tried it. I went out the window. It didn't work anyway. So I just got back in. So, you know, I mean, you can try to, you know, sooner or later we have to face these material desires. That's the point. You know, if you want to advance, you have to face things. You don't run away from your material desires, you face them. What is it that I'm dealing with? What are the things that are stopping me from getting to Krishna, and overcome them? Right? If you can't overcome them, then get married. That's what marriage is for. Right? It's a material desire. If I can't give up my, then get married. Krishna says, no problem. And then just do it slowly, do it gradually. But always keep going towards Krishna. That's the point. Is that okay? Does it answer you, or do you need more clarification? Yeah, I mean, we've all got material desires. What's the material desires don't go away, and they don't stop easily. Right? It takes time. That's what our philosophy says. It takes time to overcome the material energy. Even you've been a devotee for a long time, you see very senior and advanced devotees in our movement sometimes fall down or go away. Right? So it takes time to overcome the material desires and material energy. So you don't give up. And just don't take them so seriously. Like, just say, there's a material desire, okay, it's there, and just keep doing your service. You don't stop. Don't spend all day thinking about it. Don't get depressed about it. Just say, yes, I have material desires, because I have a material body. I'm still a neophyte devotee, I have material desires, but didn't keep doing your service. And what's the choice? Otherwise, just think about it all day, oh, I'm not a good devotee, what's the point? Just do your service and Krishna will take care of everything. Is it okay? Any other points? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sure.